The British High Street used to be the heart of our cities, towns and villages. No more. The High Street is increasingly lifeless, the preserve of too many empty shops and a countless array of charity shops that don't have to pay burdensome business rates. A former centre of our communities is wilting before our eyes. There's a lengthening list of great names who used to cornerstone our High Street who are now gone. Debenhams, Dixons, Woolworths, Freeman Hardy and Willis, British Home Stores, Toys R Us, Mothercare, just to name a few. Of course there'll be churn as tastes and spending patterns change, but these shops are not being replaced. Something very profound is afoot, greater than the impact of internet shopping or high business rates. Here to discuss how to revitalise the state of our high streets is Dr. Ed Jones, a financial economist at Bangor University, who interestingly doesn't consider himself to be a conventional academic. He spent a good 10 years working in banking, but had a bit of a homecoming 7 years ago after returning to his alma mater in Anglesey, a beautiful part of northwest Wales, from where he joins us today. Welcome to the We Society, Ed.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that introduction.
First question, when we invited you to join this podcast called the We Society, what were your first thoughts when you heard the term?
I'll be honest, my first thought was that you had the wrong person, but it was an absolute pleasure to be on this show with you today. And when I think about the term the We Society, it's so important and connected to everything that I do these days, in that I've come to notice that in order to address many of the problems that we face, it's society or communities that have the answers. And by working together, the communities are able to come up with the solutions for many of the challenges we face.
Then, just before we kick off, I want you to, I've tried to frame it in the introduction here, but just give us some sense of the scale of the problem. Pull us into your world. You know, why is it this has really got your gander to the extent it has?
Yeah, with the high street, it's been interesting for me. I'm sure I'm the same as everybody else, that, you know, we've grown up with thriving, interesting high streets. And to see them now, it's depressing. And here in Bangor, we have the longest high street in Wales. And I remember growing up, coming here on the weekends and seeing the shops, seeing the people, seeing it full of life. And to walk down the street now, it's empty. It's not the most happiest place. And it's very sad to see it that way. But it doesn't need to be like that. There are ways of fixing the high street, of getting life back. Maybe not in the way that we would remember it or how I would remember it as a child, but it is possible to bring life back to the high street.
Now, just across from Bangor in the Menai Straits, another high street, which is doing really well.
Less than 5 minutes down the road, there's another high street in Menai Bridge that's thriving. It has life from early in the morning till late in the evening. There's people there, there's shops, there's cafes, there's art galleries, there's all the different mixes that you'd want on High Street. And it's absolutely thriving. And then down here in Bangor, again, you know, it's a bit depressing. So we need to find that solution. How do we revive the High Street? Not here in Bangor, but all across the country. It's the same story that we're seeing in various different places.
Now, I'm intrigued because you're an academic, work at Bangor University, and you have been a banker, and now you're back in the world of academe. What pulled you back?
Yeah, it's. I was fortunate to spend 10 years in banking, and I suppose it arrived at a point in my life where I was just thinking that hiraeth that we'd say in Wales. You know, I had that longing for returning back home. And
what's that word in Welsh? It sounds interesting.
Hiraeth.
And what does that mean?
It's a strange Welsh word where there isn't an exact English translation for it. And I suppose the best way of describing it is that longing or homesickness to return home. I can imagine I reached the point in my life where I was longing for home, wanting to return. And I was fortunate an opportunity came up at the local university, and I applied and I got myself a position as a lecturer in economics. And I remember taking on the post and telling the head of the school at the time that that I didn't want to be a traditional academic that gave lectures and wrote academic papers. And I was determined to work with people, with governments, with businesses, with different groups, and play an active part in trying to revive the local economy and making things better for people here. Because having grown up in the area, that's my main goal, to make things better for people. And so I'm a bit different to other academics, maybe that give lectures and write papers. I'm much more interested in writing reports or having an impact on different organizations or businesses and helping them to move forward.
I think a lot of social scientists actually are in the same space as you, really, the same mental space. I mean, they, whatever their research interest or their academic interest, I mean, I think they have at least half an eye, if not a whole eye, on, you know, what impact this is likely to have on the lived lives of people. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons that people are drawn to social science, actually. So in a way, you're kind of, you've gone a wee bit further, but I think a lot of social scientists would, you know, recognise and congratulate you and share your vision, actually. But let's cut to the chase and get into this high street world. I mean, when you began this discussion, comparing Bangor and Menai Straits, I won't be alone in thinking, well, you know, Menai Straits is just a community on the rise and Bangor's one that's going sideways, and the high street reflects no more than the vitality of the two economies. And actually what you're describing is some economies are on the go up and some go down. It has ever been thus. I mean, rebut that.
I think the issue with that is that, you know, Bangor, what's happening in Bangor is not unique to Bangor. We've seen across the whole country high streets deteriorating, shops closing, boarded up windows. It's not a unique story. I think the unique part is Menai Bridge itself, that it is, does have a high street that's booming. And so we need to find solutions, not only for Bangor, but for many other high streets across the country. The big question here is, what do we want from the high street? You know, we're used to associating high streets with retail shops. However, I think we've reached the point now where we actually have to sit down and think, what exactly do we want from the high street? Is it that old model of retail shops, which I don't think is viable anymore? Or do we want something else from the high street? What does the community want? And how then do we design the high street in order to meet the community needs?
I mean, what's the obstacle to this? I mean, one of the where you get to very fast is actually who owns the shops. And I mean, one of the kind of things that a lot of critics have been saying for 20, 30 years, and I would rank myself among them, is that this world of big property groups floated on the stock market owning large swathes of our high street are only renting out on rentals where there's never a reduction in rent. There's only upward rent increases. And I can name half a dozen restaurants, shops I know in near where I live in North London that have had to close because of this. Just there's been inflation, up goes the rent. And it's actually a power story here. And local communities may want to come together and kind of reinvent the high street. But unless they've got a counterparty who's prepared to talk to them about how the physical space is going to be used, they're in trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, that is true. And well, first of all, I think it's the communities that do have the solution to the problems that we're seeing on the high street. However, without the right support, those communities, like you say, won't be able to develop their solutions. So there is a role there for the government at all levels. I can imagine local council will have a bigger role to play here in order to make space available for communities to develop their their solutions. Now, with the big property owners, it's a case for the government to negotiate with them to see what can be done there, whether that's through potentially new taxations that could cause them to bring down their rents or release the property to the communities, or other avenues that the government can take to ensure that there is space for communities to develop their solutions.
But aren't we all kind of complicit in this? I mean, I imagine I'm older than you, but I've become a convert to online shopping. I mean, I don't kind of... and it's incredible. I mean, you can order something in the morning and it's delivered in the afternoon. I mean, it's got incredibly efficient. And everything you might want is actually online. So, you know...
Absolutely.
How can a shop in Bangor High Street compete with that?
First of all, shops themselves shouldn't be trying to compete with the online retail business. I don't think they'll ever be able to compete on price with that. But what shops need to do is being able to offer an experience for customers. So, you know, when we look at a screen, we don't get to touch the product. We don't really get to talk to a specialist about the product and if it's suitable for us. So shops themselves, they need to think about, okay, what experience can they offer people in order to draw them into the high street? But we need to move away from this thinking that the high street is just for shops. Moving forward, we're never going to have a high street full of retail shops again. What we need to be thinking is, how do we develop the high street as a place where people want to come and visit? Now, yes, there might be a few shops on the high street, but we also need to think about other things. So do we need to have health hubs on the high street? Do we need to have educational centres on the high street? Do we need to have the library, rather than being tucked away around the corner, that is on the high street itself? Do we need to have cinemas? We already have cafes, pubs, places to visit on the high street. So do we need more of them? So,
but pubs are going downhill themselves. I mean, you know, libraries, local authorities are having great difficulty getting the support to keep libraries alive, although libraries themselves are beginning to reinvent themselves. Maybe that's the story. A reinvented library in a more prominent place in the high street could perhaps itself kind of help both reinvigorate the high street and reinvigorate itself.
Having these different things that would draw people to the high street, because one thing we've learned from the pandemic, when, you know, internet shopping really took off and everybody was buying even food through the internet. People are happy to buy through the internet, but they miss that human interaction. You know, I've spoken with people where they're saying, yeah, I'm happy to do my food shopping online, but I actually miss going to the shop just to meet other people to talk. That's just human nature. We want to interact. We want that relationship with other people. And therefore, we need to be setting up the high street, not just for shops, but for places where people can come together and interact. So that could include, like you said, developing a new form of library on the high street. In terms of pubs, yes, we've seen a number of pubs there are in decline. However, one thing I have noticed is that when the community buys a pub and helps manage it, I see them thriving. And the reason they're thriving is it's the community that have come together in order to manage and run the pub.
I wonder whether, and this is just pure speculation on my part, where in the first weeks of January, I mean, the entire country was talking about Mr. Bates versus the post office. And there's a sense that actually these kind of loved institutions in the high street had been betrayed, and actually we should have listened more to these kind of community stalwarts as they were being accused of theft, when in fact they weren't. I'm just wondering whether maybe Britain's discovering the importance of community again. Just a quick break in the conversation to tell you about the Academy of Social Sciences, the organisation behind the We Society podcast. I'm Will Hutton, the president of the Academy of Social Sciences, the national body for social science academics, practitioners, and learned societies. From listening to the podcast, you'll hear that social scientists are at the forefront of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. And in this podcast, we bring you some of their best ideas to shape the way we live. You can find out more about the Academy of Social Sciences work, support us, or read up on our fellows by going to the website acss.org.uk. That's acss.org.uk. Now, back to the conversation. You chair an important charity in Anglesey, don't you, which disperses $24 million every year to support this kind of initiative. And I wonder, have you got examples of what you're talking about that you can kind of tell us? This is it. I'm on my way. I'm developing a model high street for others to copy.
Absolutely. I think communities hold a lot of the answers for the problems that we're facing. And what we as academics, as policymakers, politicians all need to become comfortable with, stopping with this idea of this top-down solution that, you know, we're able to develop the solutions to the high street or other parts of society with these problems, and create this framework that communities are able to propose and develop their own solutions. And to me, that's the most important thing, that rather than telling people what the answers are, that I help other peoples to develop their own answers, because they're the ones, they know what their challenges are. They know what the problems are. And more often than not, they also know what the answers are. There's a great example here in Gwynedd. There's a small community in Melinheli that, you know, they're facing economic problems. They've, as many other people are, and the communities come together, and one of the solutions they have is that they're going to buy the marina, the local marina. And it's fantastic to see the community there coming together. And hopefully that's successful for them, because they've recognized their problems. They believe that owning the marina will be a solution. And they're going through that process now to buy it. There's a community down in South Wales that I'm also talking with that, again, they're seeing problems on the high street. And what they've come up with is a community-led science hub that they believe that the science hub will be the solution.
What is a science hub?
So the science hub will be scientists coming together to develop a new way of growing different plants, and the community will own that process, and they'll be able to sell the genetics, the plants that they've developed, to other scientists. And so there is a business model there as well. But what's interesting about this is the community has come together to look at, okay, what skill sets do we have? And so there is a bunch of scientists there that are willing to work together. The community is able to come together in order to get the laboratory set up and place it on the high street and work together to make this business happen.
It's very exciting.
But it's fascinating because it is again showing what communities are able to do. They are being a lot more innovative, a lot more confident in coming up with solutions. They're looking at, okay, what skill sets do they have? And what can they do with those skill sets in order to improve not only the economic situation of the local area, but also just society in general?
And there's also, I think, that this question of taxing. Local government isn't able to tax residential properties, still stuck at 1991 values. There hasn't been a revaluation for 30 years. But business premises get revalued much more regularly. And so they've looked to businesses to kind of raise revenue and not homeowners. And that's kind of disproportionately directed the tax burden on the high street. So you've got kind of a couple of big things going on there that are structural. And over and above, of course, internet shopping and sitting in the background. So what's your view on all that?
Yeah, if we start with the taxation, we've done some work here at Bangor University with land value tax. And I'm a big believer in land value tax, in that it would help to rebalance. Or...
Now, I agree with you on this, but you better explain it to our listeners.
Yeah, where the tax is on the land value itself. So higher land values would incur greater taxes, and lower values would incur lower taxes. And the idea is that if you have a a shop that's very busy, that's very active, then of course that would be reflected in higher land values. And so the idea is that with high streets where there are shops that are struggling or empty, we could have lower tax, which hopefully would encourage more business activity there.
Right. So again, making tax contingent on turnover, activity, profit, rather than just kind of on the bricks and mortar.
Yeah. And yeah. What was interesting with our work here in Bangor in this area was that we were able to show for the government, it wouldn't change considerably the total amount of revenue that they would bring in from the tax. You know, if they were to switch from the current model to a land value tax, it wouldn't change it that much at a national level. But of course, what you see then across the country, the amount that different areas bring in, it does change. And that's what you'd want. You know, that's a good system where you can see it having an impact at a low level, but at the national level, the tax revenue remains roughly the same.
Help us dream a bit, Ed. I mean, you know, we've been talking for a few minutes now, but where does this all end up? Can you give me, paint your dream picture of your dream high street that, you know, was in our grasp within the next 10 years?
For me, the dream is that the community develops the high street. What I want is all across the country that communities develop their own solutions. And so when I go on my free weekends and I visit a high street.
Most people spend their weekends seeing the kids playing tennis, but you're on the road, high street watching. Is that what you do with your weekends?
Absolutely. I'm dedicated to my work, and so I'll spend my weekends going to visit different high streets.
What's your favourite high street? Where have you gone back to? Tell us where to go to for a really good high street experience.
One of my favourite high streets is Carnarvon. It's here in North Wales. It's a thriving high street with a great sense of community. But what I like about Carnarvon is that the Welsh language is thriving there. So I'm a first speaker Welsh language.
And I thought you were a Welsh speaker.
And it's just fantastic to see how local people have develop small businesses, how communities have developed different units there. You have a gallery in Carnarvon where the community came together to develop an arts centre. It's a fantastic story with they also took over about 20 different shops, and they've redesigned them that people actually live above the shops. And that's not something we tend to see here in the UK. You know, we have shops on the ground floor and then nothing above, where in Europe we see people living above the shops. And it's just fantastic to see that actually work on the high street. So, yeah, I would say Carnarvon would be my go-to choice as a high street.
Well, there's a lot of secondary and tertiary kind of shopping areas in Britain, you know, where Not so much the high street, but where you get kind of 10 or 12 shops in a row that used to be thriving and now aren't. And again, you could apply the same principle there. I mean, turn them into workshops, people sleeping above the workshop, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. It's again moving away from that idea that the high street is just for shops. You know, the high street has to be a place where, yes, we do some shopping, but it's a place where we live, where we work, where we interact with other people. And so it's changing that mindset that we've had since the 1940s towards a new high street where it's thriving, it's been driven by the community, and it's a place for people to come together.
Are you worried about inequality?
Absolutely.
I mean, that some, you know, I can readily see that, you know, middle-class communities, well-led, articulate, insisting that their high street's reinvented and they've got resource to do it. Whereas you can imagine more disadvantaged communities just not having the same degree of articulacy. And so, you know, you then start to see another inequality laid over all the others in our society.
It is something I'm worried about, that we see this inequality. We know that there are certain communities that, you know, they have highly educated, great background, and they can get things done. And this is the why there's an important role for the government to make sure that all communities receive the support that they need in order to develop the solutions. Now, you know, we might see some communities that are poor, not highly educated, but that doesn't mean that they don't know what solutions are. You know, they will face challenges the same as everybody else, and it's important that the government puts in place the correct support in order to allow all communities the opportunity to thrive.
Is that, which we say government, is that the Welsh government? Is that the
Governments,
Department of
governments
community,
on all level.
Communities living
governments
up.
Governments on all level.
Yeah.
So it'll be, there's a role there for the UK government, for the Welsh government, for local councils. It's making sure that the communities receive the right support that they need.
We're getting near the end of the interview now, but I guess I'm intrigued by how you do your work. Do you hold workshops? I mean, how do you get your message out? I mean, will you have workshops around Anglesey? Will you have workshops in Bangor? Will you see whether the good things that are working in Menai Bridge can be brought back into, and Carnarvon can be brought into Bangor? It seems, you know, you've mentioned two thriving ones near where you are, and then one where the university is, which is not thriving. I mean, how do you set about being a change agent over and above the academic work you're doing?
I'm fortunate. I get plenty of opportunities to work with different groups, so I will regularly go out to give workshops. I will partake in meetings with different organisations, different community groups that are looking to develop new solutions. And I am very, very lucky to be given that freedom in order to engage with different people and help them along the journey. Sometimes they just need that little nudge in the right way, or they need to be made aware of different opportunities, or to be made get a new connection with someone else. And yeah, it's just going out, leaving the office, leaving the campus, and going out to talk with people.
That's, for some reason, Ed, I've got this vision of kind of Saint Ed, the saint of high streets, kind of wafting round Wales and beyond, you know, in a druidic gown, kind of discussing with local communities how we're going to get an intelligent, community-based, kind of really lovely high street. I mean, I like this kind of, but good on you, good on you. I know it's how you're taking, but it's a great image, I think. How do, is that, how, do that chime with you?
Absolutely. You know, if I become that person, I'll be very happy.
Ed, I think, Ed Jones, thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you and actually opening up this world. I think you're on the money. I think there's no question, all of us, I don't think there won't be a person listening to this podcast who won't have experienced in their local town or city a high street in trouble. And you're absolutely right. We've got to reinvent it. And you're absolutely right. The kinds of things, science hubs, marinas, reinvented libraries, cafe life, community institutions of one form or another, communities taking hold of their destiny and kind of saying, we're going to make this place live rather than die on its feet, is plainly the way forward. And it's obvious that's coming up from below. And it's obvious that governments, whether at local authority level or at Welsh level or at national level, UK level, I should say, should be responsive to that. And you've given us some examples, and it's been a great pleasure to talk to you. Rather inspiring, actually. So, Ed, the patron saint of the high street and the man who's going to help us reinvent our high street, thank you so much for giving us your time on the We Society podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening. The We Society is brought to you by the Academy of Social Sciences, who can be found at acss.org.uk. I'm Will Hutton, the producer is Emily Finch, and it's a Whistledown production. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, share with your colleagues and friends. Have any suggestions for guests, feedback for the programme? Email us on wesociety@acss.org.uk. And above all, thank you for listening.